The Grace and Duty of Being Spiritually Minded by John Owen, Chapter 2. A particular account of the nature of this grace and duty of being spiritually minded, how it is stated in and evidenced by our thoughts. Having stated the general concerns of that frame of mind which is here recommended to us, we may now proceed to inquire more particularly into the nature of it, according to the description before given in distinct propositions, and we shall carry on both these intentions together, first, to show what it is, and in what it consists, and then, how it evidences itself, so as that we may frame right judgment whether it is in us or not. And we shall have no regard to them who either neglect or despise these things on any pretense whatever, for this is a word according to which we shall all shortly be judged. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Thoughts and meditations as proceeding from spiritual affections are the first thing in which this spiritual mindedness consists, and by it it evidences itself. Our thoughts are like the blossoms on a tree in the spring. You may see a tree in the spring all covered with blossoms, so that nothing else of it appears. Multitudes of them fall off and come to nothing, oftentimes where there are most blossoms, there is least fruit. But yet there is no fruit, be it of what sort it will, good or bad, but it comes in and from those of those blossoms. The mind of man is covered with thoughts, as a tree with blossoms. Most of them fall off, vanish, and come to nothing. And in vanity, and sometimes where the mind most abounds with them, there is the least fruit. The sap of the mind is wasted and consumed in them. However, there is no fruit which actually we bring forth, be it good or bad, but it proceeds from some of these thoughts. Therefore, ordinarily, these thoughts give the best and surest measure of the frame of men's minds. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. In case of strong and violent temptations, the real frame of a man's heart is not to be judged by the multiplicity of thoughts about any object, for whether they are from Satan's suggestions or from inward darkness, trouble, and horror, they will impose such a continual sense of themselves on the mind, it shall engage all the thoughts about them, as when a man is in a storm at sea. The current of his thoughts run quite another way than when he is in safety about his occasions. But ordinarily, voluntary thoughts are the best measure and indication of the frame of our minds. As the nature of the soil is judged by the grass which it brings forth, so may the disposition of the heart by the predominancy of voluntary thoughts. They are the original actings of the soul, the way in which a heart puts forth and empties the treasure that is in it, the waters that first rise and flow from that fountain. Every man's heart is his treasury, and the treasury that is in it is either good or evil. As our Savior tells us, there is a good and bad treasure of the heart, but whatever a man has, be it good or evil, there it is. This treasure is opening, emptying, and spinning itself continually, though it can never be exhausted, for it has a fountain in nature of grace which no expense can diminish, yet it increases and gets strength by it. The more you spend of the treasure of the heart in any kind, the more you will abound in treasure of the same kind. Whether it be good or evil, it grows by expense and exercise, and the principal way in which it puts forth itself is by the thoughts of the mind. If the heart is evil, they are for the most part vain thoughts, filthy, corrupt, wicked, foolish. If it be under the power of a principle of grace and shall have a good treasure in it, it puts forth itself by thoughts suitable to its nature in compliance with its inclinations. Therefore, the thoughts give the best measure of the frame of our minds and hearts. I mean such as are voluntary, such as a mind of its own accord is apt for. Inclines and ordinarily betakes itself to. Men may have a multitude of thoughts about the affairs of their callings and the occasions of life, which yet may give no due measure of the inward frame of their hearts. So men whose calling it is and work to study the Scripture, or the things revealed in them, and to preach them to others cannot but have many thoughts about spiritual things, and yet may be, and oftentimes are most remote from being spiritually minded. They may be forced by their work and calling to think of them early and late, evening and morning, and yet their minds be no way rendered or proved spiritual by it. It were well if all of us who are preaching would diligently examine ourselves in this. So is it with them who oblige themselves to read the scriptures that may be so many chapters every day. Notwithstanding the diligent performance of their task, they may be most remote from being spiritually minded. See Ezekiel 33 verse 31. But there is a certain track and course of thoughts that men ordinarily betake themselves to when not affected with present occasions. If these be vain, foolish, proud, ambitious, sensual, or filthy, such is a mind in its frame. If they are holy, spiritual, and heavenly, such may the frame of the mind be judged to be. But these things must be more fully explained. It is a great character and description of the frame of men's minds in an unregenerate condition, or before the renovation of their natures, that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts is only evil continually. Genesis 6 verse 5. They are continually coining figments and imaginations in their hearts, stamping them into thoughts that are vain, foolish, and wicked. All other thoughts in them are occasional, but these are natural, the genuine product of their hearts. So the dearest and sometimes first discovery of the bottomless evil treasure of filth, folly, and wickedness that is in the heart of man by nature is from the innumerable multitude of evil imaginations which are there coined and thrust forth every day. So the wicked are said to be like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Its waters cast up mire and dirt. Isaiah 57 verse 20. There is a fullness of evil in their hearts, like that of water in the sea. This fullness is troubled or put into continual motion by their lusts and impetuous desires. Hence the mire and dirt of evil thoughts are continually cast up in them. It is therefore evident that the predominancy of voluntary thoughts is the best and most sure indication of the inward frame and state of the mind. For if it be so on the one side as to the carnal mind, it is so on the other as to the spiritual. Therefore, to be spiritually minded in the first place is to have the course and stream of those thoughts which we ordinarily retreat to, which we approve of as suited to our affections, to be about spiritual things. In this consists the minding of the Spirit. But because all men, unless horribly profligate, do have thoughts about spiritual things, yet we know that all men are not spiritually minded, we must consider what is required to such thoughts to render them a certain indication of the state of our minds. And there are three things required to this end. First, that these thoughts be natural, arising from ourselves and not from outward occasions. The psalmist mentioned the inward thoughts of men in Psalm 49 verse 11 and Psalm 64 verse 6. But whereas all thoughts are the inward acts of the mind, it should seem that this expression makes no distinction of the special kind or thoughts intended from those of another sort. But the difference is not in the formal nature of them, but in the causes, springs, and occasions of them. Inward thoughts are such as arise merely and solely from men's inward principles, dispositions, and inclinations that are not suggested or excited by any outward objects. Such in wicked men are those actings of their lusts, in which they entice and seduce themselves, James 1 verse 14. Their lusts stir up thoughts, leading and encouraging them to make provision for the flesh. These are their inward thoughts. Of the same nature are those thoughts which are the minding of the Spirit. They are the first natural egress and genuine acting of the habitual disposition of the mind and soul. Thus, in covetous men, there are two sorts of thoughts in which their covetousness acts itself out. First, such as are occasioned by outward objects and opportunities. So it was with Achan, Joshua 7 verse 21, when he says, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. Then I coveted them, His sight of them, with an opportunity of possessing himself of them, excited covetous thoughts and desires in him. So is it with others every day whose occasions called him to converse with the objects of their lusts. And some by such objects may be surprised into thoughts that their minds are not habitually inclined to. And therefore, when they are known, it is our duty to avoid them. But the same sort of persons have thoughts of this nature arising from themselves only. Their own dispositions and inclinations without any outward provocations. The vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, Isaiah 32, verse 6. And this he does as a liberal devises liberal things, verse 8. From his own disposition and inclination, he is contriving in his thoughts how to act according to them. So the unclean person has two sorts of thoughts with respect to the satisfaction of his lust. First, such as are occasioned in his mind by the external objects of it. Hereunto, stage plays, revelings, dancings, with a society of bold persons, persons of corrupt communication, contribute to their wicked service. For the avoidance of this snare, Job made a covenant with his eyes. Chapter 31, verse 1. And our Savior gives that holy declaration of the evil of it, Matthew 5:28. But he has an habitual spring of these thoughts in himself, constantly inclining and disposing him thereunto. So the Apostle Peter tells us that such persons have eyes full of an adulteress that cannot cease from sin, 2 Peter 2, verse 14. Their own affections make them restless in their thoughts and contrivances about sin. So is it with them who are given to excess and wine or strong drink. They have pleasing thoughts raising them from the object of their lust being represented to them. So Solomon gives that advice against the occasion of them in Proverbs 23, verse 31. But it is their own habitual disposition which carries them to pleasing thoughts of the satisfaction of their lust, which he describes in Proverbs 23:33-35. So is it in other cases. The thoughts of this latter sort are men's inward thoughts, and such must these be as spiritual things, whence we may be esteemed spiritually minded, Psalm 45, verse 1. The psalmist says, My heart is untidy in a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. He was meditating on spiritual things, on the things of the person and kingdom of Christ. Hence his heart bubbled up, as it states in the original. A good matter, it is an illusion taken from a quick spring of living waters. From its own life and fullness it bubbles up the water that runs and flows from it. So is it with the vain thoughts in them that are spiritually minded. There is a living fullness of spiritual things in their minds and affections that spring up into holy thoughts about them. From this does our Savior give us a great description of spiritual life. It is a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:10-12. The Spirit, with His graces residing in the heart of a believer, is a well of living water. Nor is it such a well as, content with its own fullness, does not of its own accord, without any instrument or pains in drawing, send out its refreshing waters, as it is with most wells. Though of living water, for this is spoken by our Savior in answer in opposition to that objection of the woman upon his mention of giving living water. Verse 10, Sir, she says, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence will you have this water? Verse 11, True, he says, such is the nature of this well and water, dead, earthly things. They are of no use unless we have instruments, lines, and buckets to draw with. But the living water, which I shall give, is of another nature. It is not water to be kept in a pit or cistern without us. From what it must be drawn, but it is within us, and that, not dead and useless, but continually springing up to the use and refreshment of them that have it. For so is it with the principle of the new creature, of the new nature. The Spirit and His graces in the hearts of them that believe, it does of itself, and from itself, without any external influence on it, incline and dispose the whole soul to spiritual actings that tend to spiritual, eternal life. Such are the thoughts of them that are spiritually minded. They arise from the inward principle, inclination, and disposition of the soul. These are the bubblings of this well of living water. They are the mindings of the Spirit. So our Savior describes them in Matthew 12, verse 35, a good man. Out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. First, a man is good. As he said before, make the tree good, or the fruit cannot be good, verse 33. He is made so by grace. In the change and renovation of his nature, for in ourselves we are every way evil. This good man has a treasure in his heart. So all men have. As the next words are, the evil man, out of the evil treasure of the heart. And this is the great difference that is between men in this world. Every man has a treasure in his heart. That is, a prevailing, inexhaustible principle of all of his actings and operations. But in some, this treasure is good. In others, it is evil. That is, the prevailing principle in the heart, which carries along with it its dispositions and inclinations, is in some good and gracious, in others, it is evil. Out of his good treasure, a good man brings forth good things. The first opening of it, the first bringing of it forth, is by the thoughts. The thoughts that arise out of the heart are of the same nature with the treasure that is in it. If the thoughts that naturally arise and spring up in us are for the most part vain, foolish, sensual, earthly, selfish, such is the treasure that is in our hearts, and such are we. But where the thoughts that thus naturally proceed from the treasure that is in the heart are spiritual and holy, it is an argument that we are spiritually minded. Where it is not so with our thoughts, they give no such evidence, is that inquired after. Men may have thoughts of spiritual things, and they may have many of them, and they may have them frequently, yet, which do not arise from this spiritual principle, but they can be resolved into two other causes. One, inward force. Number two, outward occasions. Number one, inward force, as it may be called. This is by convictions. Convictions put a kind of a force upon the mind, or an impression that causes it to act contrary to its own habitual disposition and inclination. It is in the nature of water to descend, but apply an instrument to it that shall make a compression of it, and force it into a vent. It will fly upwards, vehemently, as if that were its natural motion. But as soon as the force of the impression ceases, it returns immediately to its own proper tendency, descending towards its center. So is it with men's thoughts. Oftentimes, they are earthly. Their natural course and motion is downwards, toward the earth and the things of it. But when any efficacious conviction presses on the mind, it forces the egress of its thoughts upwards towards heavenly things. It will think much and frequently of them, as if that were the proper motion and course. But so soon as the power of conviction decays or wears off, that the mind is no more sensible of its force and impression, the thoughts of it return again to their old course and track as the water tends downwards. The state and frame is graphically described in Psalm 128, verses 34 and 37. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was a rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with them, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Men, when they are in trouble, danger, sickness, fears of death, or under effectual conviction of sin from the preaching of the word, will endeavor to think and meditate on spiritual things. Yea, they will be greatly troubled that they cannot think of them more than they do, and they esteem it their folly that they think of anything else. But as freedom and deliverance approach, so the thoughts decay and disappear. The mind will not be compelled to give place to them any more. The prophet gives a reason of it in Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good. that are accustomed to do evil. They have had another haunt. They have been taught another course. The habit and inclination of the mind lies another way, and they will no longer tend towards spiritual things than an impression is on them from their convictions. And it is an argument of a very mean attainment, of a low and weak degree in this frame of heart, or in our being spiritually minded, when our thoughts of spiritual things arise or fall according to the renewed occasional convictions, if when we are under rebukes from God and our persons or relations, in fears of death and the like, and withal have some renewed convictions of sin and commission, for omission of duties, and on these endeavor to be more spiritually minded in the constant exercise of our thoughts on spiritual things which we fail in. And the thoughts decay as our convictions and the causes of them wear off or are removed. We have attained a very low degree in this grace, if we have any interest in it at all. Water that rises and flows from a living spring runs equally and constantly, unless it be obstructed or diverted by some violent opposition. But that which is from thunder showers runs furiously for a season, but is quickly dried up. So are these spiritual thoughts, which arise from a prevalent internal principle of grace in the heart. They are even and constant, unless an interruption be put upon them for a season by temptations. But those which are excited by the thunder of convictions, however their streams may be filled for a season, they quickly dry up and utterly decay. Number 2. Such thoughts may arise in the minds of men not spiritually minded from their outward means and occasions. Such I intend as are indeed useful, yea, appointed of God for this end among others, that they may ingenerate and stir up holy thoughts and affections in us. But there is a difference in their use and operation. In some, they excite the inward principle of the mind to act in holy thoughts, according to its own sanctified disposition and prevalent affections. This is their proper end and use. In others, they occasionally suggest such thoughts to the minds of men, which spring only from the notions of the things proposed to them. With respect to this end also, they are of singular use to the souls of men. However, such thoughts do not prove men to be spiritually minded. When you till and manure your land, if it brings forth plentiful crops of corn, it is an evidence that the soil itself is good and fertile. The dressing of it only gives occasion and advantage to put forth its own fruit-bearing virtue. But if, in the tilling of the land, you may lay much dung upon it, and it brings forth here and there a handful worth a dung lay, you will say, the soil is barren, it brings forth nothing of itself. These means that we shall treat of are as the tilling of a fruitful soil, which helps it in bringing forth its fruit. By exciting its own virtue and power, they stir up holy affections to holy thoughts and desires. But in others whose hearts are barren, they only serve, as it were, some of them here and there, to stir up spiritual thoughts, which gives no evidence of a gracious heart or spirit. But because this is a matter of great importance, we shall handle it distinctly by itself. Chapter 2.